Hello, beautiful. This is Reverend Jennifer Hadley, and the recording you're about to listen to is part of the Living A Course in Miracles teleclass. Our intention in offering this class is to give you clear tools and practices that you can use to align with love every day in every area of your life. No one can do your healing for you. You must decide to choose love in every moment to the very best of your ability. Remember, miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. Intend to live a miraculous life of love and share the benefits of your healing and your expansion with everyone because you're one with them. Please pause the recording before the class starts and write down your intention in listening to the class. Partner up with your own higher Holy Spirit self. And please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the class. Welcome to Living A Course in Miracles. I'm Jennifer Hadley, and I am so excited for our class today, truly. I feel very blessed that our teacher today is Lisa Natoli. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much, Jennifer.
So Lisa is co-founder of the Teachers of God Foundation, and she is, along with her husband, Bill Free, and they offer a number of courses, many, many wonderful things at Teachers of God Foundation. And Lisa also has her own website, Lisa Natoli. Is it .com or org?
Yes, .com.
Okay. And she's also written the book Gorgeous for God, which Lisa definitely is. She lives that gorgeous for God. And our topic today, and I want to really appreciate you, Lisa, for this, is I asked you if you would just take this topic, because when I tuned in, this is the topic that I got, releasing temptation and torment. So thank you for being willing to take that topic on. I'm very excited to have this conversation with you about it. I think it's going to be extremely helpful to the folks who listen. And as always, I begin everything with a prayer. I'm going to invite everyone to join with us. I like to place my hand on my heart. It reminds me that I'm wholehearted. And the heart math people say that when we place our hand on our heart like this and we tune within and we get still and prepare to listen to the still small voice, that we literally boost our immune system for 6 hours. And that's a wonderful thing. So we're taking this breath of love and gratitude, opening our hearts and our minds to the higher Holy Spirit self, to that direct connection. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to pure insight, wisdom, and clarity. We are willing to release all attraction and attachment to temptation and torment, to suffering, to playing small, to living a life of pain. We are grateful and thankful to lay it all on the altar and to open our hearts and minds to the pure instruction of the Holy Spirit. We are grateful and thankful to join together with everyone because we share the same mind. So our healing, our expansion, our clarity is something we share with everyone because we're one with them. So grateful and thankful to allow ourselves the freedom to simply be, to be love, to see love, to know love, to feel love. In gratitude, we let it be. And so it is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Lisa, you know, I'll share with you, I'm always amazed at how beautifully things go when we do have the trust and faith to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the beginning of this series was about releasing our attachment to being crucified and looking at all the ways that we keep crucifixion patterns going in our mind, betrayal patterns and martyrdom patterns, and that we can't have a resurrection until we're done with the crucifixion. Mm-hmm. And then we did the classes with John Mundy about surrender and actively choosing surrender. And one of the things I know for me, the habits of temptation and torment were very, very strong, very addictive, compulsive tendencies, temptations, very challenging for me to keep cycling through that. And I wonder if you could share a little bit about your experience with temptations.
Yeah. Well, I love that you gave us these topics because I just like the challenge of it. Like when you reached out to me and said, I'd like for you to be part of the series and here's your topic. What do you think? And because I like to just look at these things. And for me, temptation is interesting because it can go in so many different directions and the whole thing of torment. So you can either look at it as temptations for, you know, addictions or food or, and then there's the temptation just to wander off and the whole thing with torments, you know, it's like people in situations and conditions. And to me, it's always coming back to A Course in Miracles. And it says that the only temptation there really is the temptation to abandon God. And really, to me, what that means is that I've abandoned myself. Like I've abandoned who I am as love. And I've wandered off into fear. And as soon as you've wandered off into fear, you immediately start to get the effects of the location where you think you are. And so, A Course in Miracles says, temptation has one lesson it would teach in all its forms wherever it occurs. It would persuade the Holy Son of God. He is a body born in what must die, unable to escape its frailty and bound by what it orders him to feel. It sets the limits on what he can do. Its power is the only strength he has. His grasp cannot exceed its tiny reach. Would you be this if Christ appeared to you in all his glory, asking you this? And it says, choose once again if you would take your place among the saviors of the world or would remain in hell and hold your brothers there, for he has come and he is asking this. And so to me, this whole world is a temptation to forget who we are. And it comes in so many different forms. It comes in sickness, like we actually believe that things are happening to us, and then the mind starts looking for solutions to fix the body, and you get the effects of that. That's the torment. You feel the hell of that and the pain of that. It seems very real. And so it is only this place where we're coming back into remembering, no, I am spirit. And this is why I love A Course in Miracles so much, because it gives us a practice where we can wake up. We can start to just look at our beliefs. Like there's one great sentence. It says, beware of the temptation to perceive yourself unfairly treated. Mm-hmm. And that's this world. Like we believe people are doing things to us. We believe we have to explain ourselves. We believe we have to attack. We believe that we need to protect ourselves. We believe we're being betrayed. And that's temptation.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of temptation. There's a whole lot. And for me, Lisa, I had the experience of, it used to be such a constant thing in my life that I would feel tempted in various ways, tempted to be sarcastic, tempted to be withholding, tempted to overeat, to drink too much, to smoke too much, to do whatever too much. I would have all these different temptations, and I would recognize there's going to be a penalty for this in a sense. So there'll be a cost to it. There'll be a boomerang. And is that really what you want to do? And I used to all the time be, I would say, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. That's right. Damn right. I'm going to do it. and just to hurt myself.
Mhm. Yep. Yeah, and we have the same stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I was alcoholic, overeater, food addict, suppressed, and the same thing. It was like always just that need for power and planning, and it was just totally getting sidetracked off into these things, and I literally couldn't find out how to stop doing those things. I mean, it's interesting for me now to look at it, but at the time, I really did not know. I didn't want to do those things, and yet I did them.
Yeah, and then I would feel ashamed, stupid, guilty, foolish. And yet I honestly did feel that I couldn't help myself.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I also knew that I could. Crazy. Repeating again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
So did you have a miraculous revelation or realization that shifted everything for you, or was it more of a gradual experience of change?
Yeah, mine was definitely gradual, and it's almost like things have fallen away one by one. And for me, I found A Course in Miracles in 1992. I didn't really make a total commitment to it until 2000. And I just said, God, if you're there, I want to work for you now. I need help. And it was that simple. And that was the beginning point for me. And that was just about smoking cigarettes. I was food addict. I was, just everything that I could possibly do for self-sabotage and attack. And one by one, things started to fall away. So the alcohol and the cigarettes fell away in a day. And that came from, it was interesting because I had tried for 5 years to quit and I couldn't. I would quit for, a couple weeks, and I would rip up cigarettes and I would douse them in water because I knew I was going to go digging for them in the trash. And
yep.
I would keep buying bottles of vodka, and I'd drink, get really drunk one night, and then I'd dump the rest of the bottle down the drain. And I kept coming up with tactics, buying smaller bottles and then I would be done, and then something would happen and I would be right back in the liquor store. So it's so interesting, like when you're in this space and you so much want just to get out of it, and I couldn't. And to me, I actually can't tell you exactly what happened. Like, I don't know what I did exactly, but I went to this 30-day retreat. And one of the rules was no drinking or smoking. And I signed a contract. It's like, okay, while you're here, you will not smoke or drink or take drugs. And I signed it. And I thought, oh, yeah, 30 days, no problem. And I never picked it up again. That was like 16 years ago.
Wow.
So I think it's just a willingness. Like, it's a willingness that you want things to be different. And then from there, other things started falling away. So depression fell away. And I remember when that happened. It was in 2009 in the summer. My first marriage had fallen apart. I was feeling like a victim. I was just feeling, even though it wasn't working, I still just felt like this shouldn't be happening this way. And I would sit in the bathtub and I would cry every single night for almost a year. And I would feel guilty for crying. And what happened for me in that situation was I decided I'm not going to be guilty anymore for crying. I'm not going to be a perfect spiritual teacher or student. I'm just going to allow myself to be wherever I am and be okay with it. And I feel like that's super important for healing, because all of a sudden I was starting to really honor myself, I guess is the best way I can put it. And one night in the bathtub, I'm crying, feeling sorry for myself. And I had this experience as if there was someone else in me watching me cry that was joyful. And I stopped crying on the spot. Wow. It was so and I started laughing. Because it was like the first time I'd ever had an experience of that Christ, the I that I really am, was there on the scene, side by side next to the one that felt like a victim. And that was the end of feeling sorry for myself. It was it just disappeared. I knew, oh my God, like the whole thing's a story. The whole thing is like a big charade that we play with ourselves. And then the money piece came later. You know, that came in like 2012 when I looked at like, okay, why do I never have any money? Even though I've committed my life to service and to God, I'm ready to do anything. Why am I always in lack? And every step of the way, I just take responsibility and say, okay, I'm causing it. I don't know how or why, but I know that somewhere there's a block in me and I'm determined to find it. And you just start looking at the beliefs. And so all of a sudden, that whole condition of lack fell away. And then the recent one, and again, I feel like it's so interesting to just see how some people it's all at once. And I know that's possible, where all of a sudden you remember who you are, and that's not my path. But then I started to have physical symptoms that seemed like a flu virus a couple years ago. And it was like something was alive in me, like it was something moving in me, and it would come and go, and it seemed like bacteria maybe, or I didn't know what it was. And when I would travel, I would get symptoms. My eyes would act up, my throat, my mouth. And then I started suddenly looking to heal my body. And so that was really an interesting one for me, because I had never been sick. And then I got diagnosed with autoimmune. So they said it's incurable by worldly standards. And I tried to hide it for a while. Like I tried to, you know, being a spiritual teacher and a student. Right. And a couple months ago, and I love the way the Holy Spirit works with us, because it's really bringing us back to this place where we're not hiding anymore, that we're not trying to be some other version of what we think we're supposed to be. And I realized, no, I'm not that. I mm-hmm. saw in an instant that my entire focus over the last few years was on the body and trying to heal the body. And that's the temptation. That is wandering into the temptation, and that's not what I am. And I started to tell people about it. I'm like, okay, this is what's going on with me. And it was like I was out of hiding. And now I've been working with the beliefs that I've been holding. And now it's like a total freedom like I've never experienced before. Like it's to me, there's like such a joy to come into this place to just say, let me not wander into temptation and let me not forget who I am as light, as spirit, as love. Yeah.
Can I ask you, because I feel prompted, can I ask you, when you were experiencing the autoimmune, what were you experiencing? What was your experience like with that?
Well, it just felt like, flu symptoms at first. It just felt like it would come and it would go. So I wasn't really paying much attention to it.
Uh-huh.
And then I started to notice about a year ago, there was vomiting. All of a sudden it was like, okay, something's not right here. And I kept in this, I love it. I love being so much just dedicated to watching the way my mind is working. Up until that point, I kept just affirming, I'm not a body. I'm not a body. It's an illusion. It's not real. And I really think that is a place where a lot of people get trapped, and they're not actually looking at the guilt, the unconscious guilt that's there. They're not doing the work. They're just trying to heal the appearance by affirming some sentence that they read in a book. And And I kept really just avoiding looking at it. And then I went to a naturopath. I spent thousands of dollars trying to heal. Mm. And I was always looking on the internet. Like, I would type in the symptoms in Google and I would find all possible things that it could be. And went to an eye doctor because my eyes were going blind, and then the dentist. And it was just like, and they all basically said, and I've actually never been officially confirmed as having that, but those three said, this is what it definitely looks like, and it's not curable. And so I just suddenly reached this point where I said, this course is uncompromising. You cannot linger in any middle place between thinking you're a body and trying to heal it or being the Christ. It's got to be one or the other. And I tried everything to heal it. I love that, actually. I love that I went that route. I love that I did it. I love that I went all in. I love that I just tried all these things. And they would work a little, but not not that much.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like Jesus is going, okay, now are you ready to turn to me? Are you ready now to turn and really look at what you really are? And I just made this decision, and I don't suggest this for anybody because beliefs are very powerful. They literally create a world that gives you effects. So I always don't want people to hear my story and do what I did because,
right,
you know, you just have to really go with your own intuition. And,
right.
But I just made this decision. I am done trying to heal. I'm done. Done. I'm done with searching on the internet. I'm done. I was done with dieting. I tried dieting to lose weight. I gave that up. I just gave up everything that was identifying with the body and trying to heal it or trying to improve it. And all of a sudden, things began to change. My dedication began to look at my self-hatred, my unconscious guilt, my self-sabotage, and anything that was there. And, you know, it's so interesting, autoimmune, because it's come up in the last couple of years that everyone has it. Like, everyone's talking about it now. And what it is the cells attacking yourself. The cells are literally don't know what to do, and they're attacking you. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Like, if you look at whatever the thing is that you appear to have, and you listen to how people talk about it, it's like, oh my God, I've been attacking myself.
Yeah.
Like, I just saw it. I saw, like, oh my God, I'm getting a physical picture of the way my mind has been working, and it's attack. My cells were literally attacking myself. And I just made this decision. I'm done with that. I'm just going to love myself, and I'm going to be myself. I'm going to be totally myself. I'm not interested in being some great teacher or some perfect student. I'm just going to be myself. And in that, my energy level started coming back. There's still things that I'm seeing, like on the physical level, but I'm not paying attention like I was before. It's mm-hmm. always just like, no, nothing can stop me as the light that I am.
Amen. Amen to that, Lisa. Now, I hear your story, and it makes perfect sense to me. And talking with so many people, as I do, who have extremely intense experiences of physical suffering and pain and illness, what you're telling us, to me, is a story of great courage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And courage, as we know, is not the absence of fear, but it's the decision, really, to move forward with the most loving choice despite any fear or anxiety or apprehension.
Mm-hmm.
But just to move forward anyway, I know this is the most loving choice. I know this is the right thing to do, even though there's a part of me that says, what the what?
Huh. Yep, exactly. Well, if in my notebooks, I do morning pages the artist's way. I've been doing them for 20 years probably. And the last 10 years or more, I've been asking, how is healing accomplished? How is healing accomplished? It's throughout all my journals. And I don't just want to read what A Course in Miracles says about it, because I know all those sections practically by heart. I've read them so many times. But I'm going, yeah, but how really? Like, how do we move into this space where I know that this message is true? How does healing accomplish? Like, where the symptoms are going away, where we're seeing these miracles that Jesus is talking about. And so I'm feel very blessed that it's like this has been happening, because now it's not happening to someone else. It's very personal now. And like, I love this section, lesson 64 in the workbook lessons, let me not forget my function. It talks all about temptation. Today's idea is merely another way of saying, let me not wander into temptation. The purpose of the world you see is to obscure your function of forgiveness and provide you with the justification for forgetting it. It is the temptation to abandon God and his son by taking on a physical appearance. It is this which the body's eyes look upon. And it says, nothing the body's eyes seem to see can be anything but a form of temptation, since this was the purpose of the body itself. So, and then it's so beautiful, because it goes on to say, yet the Holy Spirit has another use for all of the illusions you have made, and therefore sees another purpose in them. To the Holy Spirit, the world is a place where you learn to forgive yourself what you think of as your sins. In this perception, the physical appearance of temptation becomes the spiritual recognition of salvation. And then it goes on to review, your function here is to be the light of the world, a function given you by God. And only by fulfilling the function given you by God will you be happy. So if I can look at the last couple of years, my main focus, not entirely, but a very big focus was on the body. Like, I've got to heal the body. I'm gonna know how healing is accomplished. And this is a complete reversal from all of that, because it's saying your focus on the body is what the problem is. Like, your function is forgiveness, not trying to heal the body, which is an effect of your thinking.
Right.
And that the Holy Spirit is going to use the illusion. It's going to use every situation that we have here. So what happens for many people in sickness and, you know, pain, it calls your attention very loudly, is people think, well, I'm just going to heal this and then I'll get back to this work of forgiveness. Like, then I'll be the light of the world. But it's actually reverse. Like, you've got to be the light of the world, and then you see the effects change. Then you see the pain disappear. And so that was really a big, big turning point for me. And it's just been to me so incredible just to be, have this happen in my life. It has become a tremendous gift. And I didn't realize, like, all the ways that I was really in a space of self-sabotage all those years and hiding. It says sickness is isolation. We've literally isolated ourselves from others and from God and from ourselves even. We've hidden ourselves in the body. And so this is it's like a total turn to stop hiding, to stop isolating, to call God back into your life, to remember your brother, to remember yourself and the love you are.
And your realizations about not loving yourself, after all the work that you've already done, what can you help us by sharing some of your realizations around that? Because we often think, oh, I really do love myself. I'm loving myself, taking good care of myself. And yet there are things that we just don't want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think it comes for anyone who's had a situation where it's like, there's never been a point where I've been told I had 6 months to live or any of that, but my mind went there. It went like, huh, you don't know how long you're even going to be here. Like, I suddenly saw all of my attempts to improve my body, which have been lifelong. I have been on a diet since, I don't know, 12 years old, probably. And we don't even recognize that eating special diets it's an attack on ourselves. Like, we're literally depriving ourselves for a future goal. For what? So that we can have a different appearance and a different image, so that we can be loved. And so the ego mind, we don't see it. Like, that's what Jesus says, I'm going to heal the blind, because we literally are blind to what we've been doing. And so I was always just on special diets, vegan, raw vegan, no bread, no this, no that. And I just said, I'm done with that. Like, I'm going to live life as a precious child of God that I am, and I'm going to pay attention, and I'm going to be present for everything, and I'm going to be myself. I'm going to express myself as that little child that I am. And for me, I really feel like everyone can actually track when they stop doing that. Like, you can actually remember yourself as free, you know, as joyful and free and no rules. And we get off track from that. We start being serious, and we start trying to be good. We try to, you know, all of a sudden it's like you have to work hard and you have to effort, and for what? And so to me, it was a journey back home to being free again. And I started really looking at, like, wow, I'm doing a lot of things I don't really like to do. Why? To make money, to make myself feel safe here and protected in the world. And I started to just go, no, but my function, this is right here, is to be the light of the world, the function given to you by God. Why am I doing things I don't like to do? Like, why not just be the light of the world? I put that on my license plate years ago. I had ACIM-61 put onto my license plate because I wanted to remember that. I wanted to remember that's all I'm here for. I'm not here to have an organization. I'm not here to be a great teacher. I'm not here for anything in this world. I'm here because I have been given a function by God, and I'm going to be about it. And so I got my priorities straight. It was like and it's been gradual. It didn't happen all overnight. But that's really what happened with the food. I stopped dieting a year ago and I lost 50 pounds. It just melted off. It just, like, gone. And I asked my husband, Bill, I said, because he'd seen me through all these years of us being together, of being on every other diet, and he would get on board with me, whatever I did. He was always been so supportive, and it would always fail. It would be efforting and struggling and hard work, and I'd buy all these special foods and special powders, and it wouldn't last because it's total deprivation and it's self-attack. And I finally just let all that go. I said, I'm not going to Google symptoms anymore. I'm not going to try to heal the body. I'm not going to be on a diet anymore. I'm just going to live in love. I'm going to live in gratitude. I'm going to eat what I want. I'm going to pay attention. And so when I asked him after I had lost all the weight, and it happened with zero effort. It was almost like I wasn't paying attention, and I just started noticing my clothes getting smaller or bigger, or me getting smaller or something. And I said, what do you think? What do you think changed this time? And he thought about it for a few minutes. And he said, you stopped dieting. Like, I was like, yeah, that's what it was. Like, I stopped. We don't even realize what's built into dieting. Like, when nobody even really looks at it, it's total deprivation. It's total self-attack. And so it was just small little things I started doing where I just made a decision. I'm just going to be myself. I'm not going to be perfect in the sense of what my image looks like anymore. Because little kids aren't perfect. You know, they make mistakes and they're messy and it looks, it's all over the map, but that's the perfection.
Yeah.
And I just decided that's how I want to live my life from now on. I want it to be authentic. I want to express myself the way I am. I want that freedom again.
And I'm hearing it in so many different ways. Like, we make a giant pot of stew and then we make individual frozen containers and we, mm-hmm. you know, we say, you know, well, I'm going to eat this now because otherwise, if I don't eat it now, it won't go bad. It'll go bad. And so mm-hmm. it's just like all the ways that we are just not tuned into the moment.
And I have to say, like, the way we started to eat did turn very healthy. We started eating whole foods. I bought a Vitamix. We both went in half for a Vitamix last Christmas. It's like the $600 blender. I was like, yep. So we started drinking smoothies and soups, but everything was like a special meal. Like everything we did was like, we were present for it. But then it's working with the beliefs that were going on. So it's not behavioral. Like it's so interesting for me to even try to express it because I know that people will hear like, oh, she did change her diet. And then, but it's like working with the beliefs. Like, why am I eating practically two plates of food? Like my portion sizes were always gigantic. I don't even know why, but they always were. And I was always hungry because I always... And it was, so it's an unconscious. So I started really paying attention and I started to really see what is in it that I want to lose weight. Like I just wanted more energy, really. That's when I really looked at it, it had nothing to do with my body size. It had to do with vitality and aliveness. That's what I really wanted. And I already had that. I realized, oh, wait a second. Like I am that. Even at the heavier weight. And so I started connecting with that. And that's what it is to connect with the truth of what you are. So connecting to the energy field, to the spirit. And you're realizing, okay, like the goal is already accomplished. It's not about a different body size. It's just connecting so deeply to the truth of what you are and being that. And I just use it for everything. I mean, A Course in Miracles to me is about discovering the beliefs that we're holding, the unconscious beliefs, and having a willingness to catch them. That's what the 40-day program is. It's watching yourself like a hawk for your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions. And I was yesterday I did this interview with this woman, and I was talking about the phrase, I can't. So many people do things in extremes. They say, I can't, I have no money. It's like, I can't will catch up with you in your body if you keep thinking it. To the fact that you do really don't have any money. People say, like, have a breathing problem, I can't breathe. Like, yeah, you can. You're standing there breathing. But we do these things like, I can't, and... So you just want to start being really conscious and awake to the thoughts that you're holding and the words that you're using, and then be disciplined enough to do something about them. Just to be present there in the now. Are you there?
I had hit the mute button. I didn't realize it. It reminds me when I was living in L.A. I lived there 22 years. I was living in West Hollywood, and I would go to the gym. I would go to yoga classes, and so many of the people that I would see at the gym, actually most of them were performers, actors, dancers, people with these incredible bodies, you know? And so... They would show up in just looking amazing, you know, practically like they were dressed for some event rather than a yoga class. And they would easily do these headstands and handstands and all kinds of things, which at that time I wasn't able to do. And so when I would see other people doing these things, I would say to myself, I can do that, but just not right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wouldn't, because I just didn't want to affirm I can't do it.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yep. And to me, like the gym, for the mass majority of people, is a torture chamber. Like it's not a place. Kids don't go to gyms, right? Kids go outside and they play. They're free. They don't,
right.
They don't think like, okay, now I need a half an hour to go walk around the block to burn off calories. Kids don't think like that. And so we're getting back to that place now of that child-like mind. And I, it's so funny, I have spent so much money on gyms, even recently, you know, in January, you know, snow on the ground. And I signed up for a gym. It was like $500 for 5 months or something. And I think I went twice. I just thought the other day, I got to call them and cancel and I thought, why did I do that? Like, why? It's an old program running. Like I need to go to the gym. But I really just encourage anyone listening to just go, okay, like, what's fun for you? What feels good to you? What can you do today that's honoring who you are? Like, I just got this letter today. I just would like to read some of it. So great. It's from this woman, Gail. And it's got so many things in here that just really show, like, how this work is done. She said, in November 2016, I was rushed to a hospital and was considered to be on my deathbed. I was totally unaware of my surroundings and incapable of any communication with my beloved children, mother, and husband. I lay there for I don't know how many days, feeling isolated and terrified. Late one night, I felt the presence of someone with me, someone filled with love and hope. I came to the realization that God was with me and I no longer felt alone. He told me that I was needed to help him in the near future. This gave me strength. I prayed night and day for his guidance. That's like a key. I got stronger.
Yes.
And despite trips back to the hospital in December, January, and March, I began to search on, here it is, how to give thanks and best serve him. I had been diagnosed with cirrhosis and was told a liver transplant was necessary. It was around March when a Facebook message appeared from Lisa Natoli and the Teachers of God regarding the 40-day retreat in the wilderness. I was immediately drawn to this and signed up. I followed my lessons faithfully and discovered that I am all in. I believed my body and soul are one with him and you all. I was at the end of my 40 days and I was going to miss Lisa's voice and daily guidance. I then enrolled in 365, and then she says, on May 16th, 2017, I went to my specialist. To his amazement and our surprise, he informed me that my liver was regenerating and I would not need a transplant. I know that A Course in Miracles and my trust in love has showed me how to live daily with God's love.
Yes.
Here, anything is possible. God's plan for me will unfold and he will provide. Thank you, everyone. My journey has begun. And so that's what Jesus is talking about, miracles. He's saying, okay, there's a presence with you. And she suddenly became conscious of it. So even if someone doesn't have that experience, I'm telling you, like, just know it. Just know it because, you know, Jennifer and I are here telling you that the presence of God is with you and loves you. You are so loved and you have a function here and you're not alone. And just start giving thanks, start living in gratitude. Don't wait for life to begin. I mean, all these messages we keep getting, but so many people aren't. That's why I love Jennifer, that everything you do is called living A Course in Miracles. You can't just think, oh yeah, gratitude, that's a nice idea. You start living it. That's what people do, though. They think, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, I've heard that gratitude heals. And then they're not grateful for every single thing, like every single thing in your life to be grateful for it.
Yeah, you know, we have to let go of trying to manage everything. is what I'm hearing in this, is to surrender trying to manage everything. And this is what can be so terrifying for people. This is why we just did, I can tell, this is why we just did the two classes on surrender, so that we would be prepared to hear what you're sharing with us now, Lisa, because this is a level of surrender that most people really think it's just not possible. Like, oh, Lisa could do that because she's so special. But it's really what I hear in your story, Lisa, is not that you're so special. It's that you have a great desire. And that desire to know God, to know yourself as God, to be of service, to live in wholeness, that is greater than any other thing.
And to me, the surrender is about acceptance also. It really is a letting go of how the outcome is going to appear. You stop caring about that anymore, and you become so present. And, you know, I was just reminded years ago, my friend Greta, who's just a great teacher to me, and she saw me in lack and poverty all the time and complaining. I was the biggest complainer all the time. And we feel justified in our complaining because look at our situation. Look at my life. Look at my bank account. You know, like I have no money. And she got right in my face one day. She pointed her finger right in my head and she said, "You are so ungrateful." She said, "The universe cannot give you anything new until you are grateful for everything in the place where you are right now." And that was a turnaround day for me because I knew that what she was saying was true. And I was living in this little dumpy motel room. And I literally in this space changed. This is what Christ's vision is. I was determined to see that room differently and my life differently. And I suddenly was grateful for everything. I was grateful for the sunlight in that room. I was grateful for my little fridge, my little, you know, I only had this one burner to cook hot water on. And before that was lack and limitation to me. And suddenly I was, oh my God, I'm so happy that I always have get this great cup of coffee every morning. And I'm so grateful for my shower. And I'm so grateful for hot water. And I'm so grateful for this bed. And I'm so grateful for these sheets. And oh my God, like, but it wasn't just words. It was an actual feeling that I entered into. And the picture started to change. And what happens is you don't, at that level, you don't even care if the picture changes because the goal has already been accomplished.
Yes, yes. Yes, and you know, for some people who would say, well, I can't even get to that authentic gratitude, I really think that's one of the great things about the Course. It tells us you don't have to believe it. You just have to be willing. So even just to be willing to say, I am grateful for these things. And certainly that has been a practice that has changed my life too. The willingness, like when something happens that my initial feeling is, ugh, you know, this is not what I would like, you know, or it's a reaction of, this is a bummer. That to go to right to, and I am grateful for the thing that is encoded into this that is for my good, and I'm grateful to receive it, even though it's coming in a package that I think I don't like. To really just be grateful for everything, like you're saying, and it's a new habit.
It is, exactly. That's a whole new way of living. And to me, it's only a matter of motivation. I mean, when I hear it a lot, people say, I can't, you know, they're in a state of depression or sadness. And but do you see, I can't, that's a belief. Of course you can. Like if this was a life or death situation, you had 24 hours to live and you were told, okay, but if you can just get into a state of gratitude for the next 24 hours, you would see how powerful you really are because you would say, oh, okay, I could if I wanted to. But the program is so much habitually set on the dial of being a victim. And that calls in the whole energy field of tired and sad and depressed and fearful and I'm all alone. It's a location. And so you just have to give yourself a challenge. That's how I always look at it. Like, be a master for a moment and just get out of that space. Like, just do, in an AA, they always say this great thing. Like, if you're in a place where you just cannot get out of the funk, move. Go outside, call a friend. Just, you've got to move. Something has to change. And if you can't do it in your mind, you know, just do something. And to me, that's always been helpful. And I'm always going back to just this idea that I have a function to fulfill. That always brings me back, like, oh, this isn't about me, actually. This is, like, I'm needed here. Like, we're all needed as miracle workers here. And when we're sad, we're not fulfilling our function. So Jesus is saying, do not let yourself be sad today. What?
And that's why we're sad, because we're not fulfilling our function.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I was talking about this in one of the earlier classes about the function, because when we're crucifying ourselves, when we feel betrayed and we're affirming that and going over the details of it, we're not fulfilling our function. And whenever we're unhappy, we're not fulfilling our function. You know, I'd like to ask you, Lisa, because as I'm sure you do, I talk with people on a regular basis who have chronic pain and mobility issues. And so they're basically sick in pain in the bed, or, you know, confined to their house to a large degree and things like that. And I think one of the most challenging things is we get so attached, and you alluded to this earlier, we get so attached to what is the answered prayer going to look like? What is it going to, you know, what that the healing that I desire means that my body will completely, I'll have transfiguration, regeneration, something like that. And not that we can't do that, we can, but we really can't have the attachment and have the healing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, to me, you know, Jesus says pain is a wrong perspective. So you're literally in a location looking out from that place. And like, when I hear things like that, you know, somebody who's in bed with pain and they can't get out, like, you have to start from where you are. So there's this story. I'm so inspired by the ones that seem to take time, you know, slow progress.
Right.
And there's this one story of this paratrooper guy whose job in the military was to jump out of airplanes.
I love that guy.
Yeah, I love that guy too. And he broke his spine. Like, he crushed his spine and he was totally unable to walk or move, confined to a wheelchair or the bed or something. And he was like, no. He's like, he moved out of victim mode and he contacted all these yoga teachers and nobody would work with him. Nobody. They said, there's no hope for you. And finally, this one, I'm going to cry just thinking about this yoga teacher. That one yoga teacher said, I will work with you. And that guy, every single day, did something. Like, even in the bed, if maybe in the beginning, all you can do is breathe. Everybody can breathe. You
right.
just start going, okay, I'm going to move my energy a little bit. I'm going to move out of this place that I can't. And you're just going to start participating and collaborating in the healing process to say, yep, I can, okay, I can move the sheet off the bed and lift my leg a little bit and do a few stretches. Okay, yep. And you suddenly will notice that you're moving in a new way. And then suddenly you notice, I actually could put the feet on the floor. Like, and you start to notice, like, little improvements. And so, because you're holding the goal for yourself of, like, okay, I'm getting out of this bed. Like, I'm going to go down those stairs. I'm going to go out that door. I'm going to get in that car. You make little goals for yourself. And I'm just a practical teacher. I myself don't really like the whole thing of, like, well, you know, think differently and boom, your experience will be different. It, it will be different because you'll feel different in the moment. That's why a miracle doesn't take any time. So, and then people who have pain, like people will often say, I'm in pain all the time. I said, I want you to pay really, really, really close attention to that. Are you sure it's all the time? And they will come back to me and always say, okay, it's not all the time. So that's an improvement. And then you start to notice that the time span is getting less and less and less until there's no pain anymore. But as long as people are saying, I can't move, of course you can move a little. It's like it's always the ego mind is so set in being a victim, and that's the thing people need to break.
You know, I'm so glad you said that, Lisa, because I think this is one of the key things for people is the ego says basically it's all or nothing.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, and so you're not able to run the marathon today, so why even bother? Just watch television.
Exactly.
Don't do anything. And one of the things that I say all the time is just a little bit will go so far because spirit will multiply it. It's your intention. It's your willingness. It's your desire. And if you're not willing to invest your desire in your healing, in your wholeness, in your rising, then it's just God is not going to come and rescue you.
Yep. Exactly.
Because that's not what this world is about.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like God, like I say all the time, Lisa, that if we're doing something that's self-destructive and we keep increasing the self-destruction, or if we're saying, oh, I'm so stupid, I'm such an idiot, I can't believe I did that, what a moron, or these kinds of things to ourselves, or I should be shot, I should be hung up to dry, you know, they should just take me out and whip me, or what, you know, when we say all these kinds of things, there's this thought that if we get so self-destructive and so pitiful that God's going to say, okay, I can't take it anymore, I'm going to intercede here. And, you know, or God, if we're using the power of our word and investing it in all kinds of negativity, that somehow God's going to intercede and say, she doesn't really mean that, folks. So we're not going to have her life manifest according to her word because she just is being, you know, crazy. We can't allow that. It's just not how God works. It's just, the universe really is like a yes machine that just keeps saying, oh, you'd like to see what it feels like to have no money? Okay. You want to keep affirming you don't have any money or you're broke?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people say, you know, I'd like to take this class with you, Jennifer, but I'm broke. I don't have any money. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to affirm that. Let's see. I'm going to back away from that thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. And even just listening to your description of that list of how people talk about themselves, you know, I'm so broke, I'm so stupid, I'm so this, I'm what, and Jesus is telling us that your holiness is what you are. And so anybody can begin to pay attention to the thoughts that they're using about themselves, the words that are coming out of their mouths. And then it's a decision, okay, I'm going to connect with my holiness now. That is going to be my full-time job, to remember my holiness. My holiness blesses the world. There is nothing my holiness cannot do. Because when we're saying I'm broke, you're obviously not connect. You're connecting with the body and the physical world. You're not connecting to the holiness. I love A Course in Miracles so much, but this idea of, it says, and the peace of God is shining in me now. It says the only thing that came with you was the light that came from him who is your source. So we all have everything. We all came in with that same light. It can never be lost. But we can't see it, or we're not using it while we're stuck in our stories. So this is a decision to be uncompromising and recognize, oh, I actually have everything. I have the light. I can extend it to my brother. I can give my attention. I can be present for things. Like, that's the gifts that we're giving. And that's, to me, is the complete reversal of the ego thought system.
Beautifully said. Yes. Yes.
It even says here, your holiness can remove all pain, can end all sorrow, and can solve all problems. It can do so in connection with yourself and with anyone else. And so, but it's, you have to claim it. You have to. And I just absolutely love your teaching, Jennifer, and I loved what you did at Easter in Utah of getting people to be all in. It has to be all in. It's not that their behavior has to be all in, but the mind has to really go, yep, this is what I want. I want this now. I want to let my mind be in a state of gratitude and love, remembering who I am.
That's it. For me, the decision to be all in was a turning point. It didn't happen overnight, like you said. For me, it was gradual. But when it happened, I literally got to the point where I literally got down on my knees, just absolutely sobbing and saying, Holy Spirit, do not let me hold anything back from you. Not one thing. I give it all to you, all of it. You know, I'm only interested in the perfection, in the wholeness, in the beauty. And one of my favorite affirmations is, I am perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I am perfect.
I love that.
Yeah, just, yep. It's I am perfect. It's now, it's eternal, it's always, I am perfect. I am perfect and so are you, we are perfect. And so, I decided to be all in for God, and there's not a day that goes by when I don't realize, I wasn't all in that moment. You know, in that moment, I was still, just a moment ago, I was having a judgment. Just a moment ago, I wanted to go unconscious. Just a moment ago, I was tempted to see them as separate from me. Just a moment ago. But, you know, it doesn't take anything away, truly, from my willingness.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And there's perfection in that. Like, you're not guilty. And that's the thing, we're not beating ourselves up anymore for not being present 100% of the time. You know, I see that a lot in spiritual seekers. It's like, oh, I'm not doing it perfectly. It's like, no, if you're catching it, like if you're catching what you're doing and you're bringing yourself back, that's perfect.
Right.
It's the guilt that's the killer. It's the guilt when we just keep beating ourselves up. And now we're using the spiritual path to beat ourselves up. And it's like, okay, I'm done with all of that. I'm going to be a child again. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to be myself. I'm just going to just let things fly. And I'm going to be okay with everything the way it's going. I'm not going to have to do it perfectly anymore.
Well, we are at our time here, and I feel so blessed, Lisa, I know we all do, to be able to hear your inspirational life, to hear, you know, and that's the great thing is your life is the life of someone who's surrendering more and more, someone who is more and more experiencing the joy and the freedom. You have a great willingness. You have a great desire to know God as your very self and to see the Christ in yourself and your brothers and sisters. And that is what's inspiring. And your miraculous healing is the natural result of your willingness and your desire. And you learned how to cultivate that, and we can all learn how to cultivate it. And the great thing is we all have the same teacher.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yep. I'd love if I can just to share, this has been so helpful to me, and I actually use this almost every single day, is and it goes right along with temptation. This is the Lord's Prayer that was given to Helen Schuckman in the Course in Miracles. And it says, "Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander into temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will, and let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen."
Beautiful.
That's the one I use. I use whenever I want to be tempted to explain myself or engage in any drama. I remember that. Just let me remember my true relationship with you, Father.
And where can people find that? Do you know? Where'd you get it from?
This came from the Course in Miracles. This is from, I don't know what section it's in actually, but I will email it to you, and you can let your mailing list.
Yeah, I'll talk.
Oh,
about
here it.
It
is. Text. I got it. It's text 16, section 7, number 12.
Okay, great.
So it's in the text, chapter 16.
Well, I am going to say a prayer to close us out. And before I do, I'd just like to remind everyone that you can connect with Lisa through her website, lisanatoli.com, and then also the teachersofgod.org. And Lisa has so many wonderful resources, free resources, like the 40-day program. Anything else you'd like to share about any of that, Lisa, before we close?
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Jennifer. And the 40-day program to me is the first initial point for anyone who really wants to challenge themselves for 40 days. And then I have a 10-minute audio for all 365 workbook lessons called ACIM 365. And then finally, we have a mastery program. And that's really just for anyone who wants to live A Course in Miracles, who wants to finish the whole book, who wants to just practice these ideas and have a community to do it with them.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to invite everyone to place their hand on their heart again as we give thanks. Give thanks for Lisa's precious life and the opportunity to celebrate our own divinity together. So grateful and thankful to release the temptations and the torment, everything that we have fabricated. We give it to the Holy Spirit here and now for healing. We are grateful and thankful to partner up with the higher Holy Spirit self and to recognize the fullness of love is our true identity, that there's nothing missing. Everything is for us. Nothing is against us. We are grateful and thankful to call forth a great willingness. We are grateful and thankful to let go of all illusions. We are grateful and thankful to open ourselves to the unprecedented, to miraculous healing. We're calling it forth. We're accepting it. And we are grateful. We are grateful also to share the benefits of our healing, our expansion, our clarity with everyone because we are one with them. In gratitude, we joyfully allow the healing to be. We let it be, and so it is. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You give the best prayers. I love them.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I'm glad you could join us and share on this topic. Truly, truly, I'm grateful. And I love you very much, my dear sweet sister.
Thank you. I love you too.
Bye for now.
I love you too. Thank you so much.
This is Jennifer Hadley again. I invite you to remember that your dedication to your life of love is the best gift that you can share with the world. Love is the only healer, and it's always available to you for the asking. Remember, too, that you cannot have that which you're unwilling to share. Share the love today. Love out loud, and know that all boats rise on this holy tide of love. Thank you for joining us. Please go to jenniferhadley.com for more tools and practical loving support every day.